Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I think a bit of a storm in the teacup, I think, makes a good story.
The grass is extra brown this week.
Oh, I can feel this is going to end in tears with something stuck up. No, I'm the green agent.
This is Primetime on British Open Week.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, British Open Week. Although I think they call it the Open now.
Yeah,
they call it the Open Championship.
It's just the Open Championship. Although Phil was calling it the British Open.
Well, don't we all? I mean, we just had a whole Open with it being the British Open. Like it's they changed it, but it's not going over all that well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's either way is acceptable, right?
It's called the Open.
Yes.
Not the U.S. Open, the Open.
The Open.
But I don't know, is like British Open offensive now for some reason?
I don't know. But why are we playing Dropkick Murphys for the British Open?
Well, again, it's not the British Open, it's the Open.
Yeah, the Open.
And this year it's in Northern Ireland.
Okay.
Wrap your head around that.
But still an American band. But...
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're from Boston.
Well, I tell you, we're nothing if not thorough around here. Look, I'm sure that was Swigard doing that. And he's like, I don't know. I got to find some music for that. Dropkick Murphys.
Good enough. I mean, they have like the Irish heritage or whatever, but yeah, they're a Boston band.
Now, who would you have put in there?
I don't know. I mean, what would be the, U2, I think would be a better, they're actually Irish, right? Bono.
Are they all Irish?
I think Bono is. I don't know if they all are. But I know Dropkick Murphys is not.
What about that? Where's
there you go, Flogging Molly.
The Floggers.
Yeah, he's the lead singer is from Dublin, so there's that.
Who's that band? Who's that really popular band? You know,
the real popular, what?
Yeah, it does all the music and stuff. Gosh darn it, what is their name?
The best Irish bands?
What is Colorado Rockies?
Mumford & Sons, where are they from?
Well, you got the Dubliners, the Cranberries.
Oh, the Cranberry! Didn't she die?
I don't know if she died or not. Thin Lizzy, apparently, is an Irish band.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, the Stiff Little Fingers, who sound a lot like Green Day, they are an Irish band.
That
of course,
borderline makes me uncomfortable. Stiff Little Fingers.
Stiff Little Fingers. The Irish Rovers, they play like traditional, like Irish folk music.
So,
but somehow we ended up with Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah. Well,
by the way, great guys. I had five guys burgers with them once with like three of the members. Couldn't have been nicer.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's just a random thing to throw in.
I had burgers with the three of the guys from Dropkick.
You had five guys burgers with three of the guys from Dropkick Murphys.
Yes.
Fascinating.
And then went to a strip club.
I want to know more about that. Wait, what?
Yeah.
I want to know more about all of it.
Detroit, Michigan.
And I don't know where... Mumford & Sons are from, but...
They're not Irish.
Yeah, I don't think they're Irish.
No.
Okay, well, here's what's coming up. We've got some Sports Mondays. Djokovic over Federer. A little Phil Mickelson. Do you know who Max Kepler is?
I do know who Max Kepler is.
And also the Blazers over-under win total has been released.
Yeah, I may lay a sawbuck on this.
Ooh. And... what if you could trade schools in college football?
Because
that story's out there.
I need more information.
Well, here's what I'll tell you.
Okay.
Conference USA and Sun Belt are discussing trading schools.
Yeah. Okay. Conference. Yeah, I did see this.
But we don't care about Conference USA and Sun Belt. So
no.
What if you could just swap schools?
Dude, this would be badass.
With leagues.
Think about when you were a kid and you just traded cards. How awesome would it be if conferences could make deals?
Yeah, and as a Kansas fan, I think it would be great because we'd just be a throw-in.
That is true. You'd be
like, hey, you get our basketball team. All right, fine. We'll go. We'll ride the coattails of someone great.
Would you be the player to be named later in the deal?
Totally.
To make salaries work.
But then end up on a great team.
Yeah.
You know,
with the basketball program.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, we're a valuable little throw-in.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. Coming up in the club tonight.
By the way, just on a Kansas note, did you see the press? Because Pac-12 Media Day next week.
Yes.
Big 12s,
we'll be there.
Big 12s is going on right now. Did you see Les Miles' abortion of a press conference when he was talking about the discipline of his running back?
No, I didn't.
It's ugly. Mike, will you go see if you can pull the audio? It's floating around. It's, he's.
The Puka Williams stuff?
Yeah, the Puka Williams stuff. Because he's spending him one game against like Tallahassee JUCO. His justification of that is embarrassing.
All right, well, I can't wait to hear it. And then we have a 7-Eleven baby in the club.
Oh.
And will the armed soldiers on hoverboards be a thing? Did you see that? Now,
I did.
That's unbelievable.
The flying it seems fake. It's not, though. It did not seem real. It seemed doctored up.
And we also have microchip news. You know how people are throwing microchips in their hot bodies now?
Yeah. Supposedly that's going to be the rage in a number of years. We won't need cards or anything.
That's
it's right. All just going to be like
it's happening.
Yeah, just throw it in there.
But right now, let's tell you what's going on in sports. It's the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Mumford & Sons officially from London.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, it's you could.
British-esque. Even though it's in Ireland.
Number 5.
Well, London, just
number
clear,
5.
London is not in Ireland.
No.
But
the open.
Yes.
This
year is in Northern Ireland, but,
Now, is Northern Ireland, with the whole Brexit, which one is going to still be in the... Because the Ireland and Northern Ireland, one's in and one's out.
Don't ask me, man.
Did you know that?
I did. I think I saw a 60 Minutes piece on that or something.
Yeah, and I'm not certain which one is
I think
is
Northern
which,
Ireland's going to do its own thing. I feel like that, but I didn't want to... I don't know.
But that could be pretty awkward.
Number 5, boxing champion Pernell Whitaker hit and killed by a car.
Yeah, Sweet Pea, one of the great defensive fighters of all time and was absolutely robbed when he got a draw against Cesar Chavez when he clearly won that fight. He was a magician in the ring.
Well, many thought he was robbed in the Oscar De La Hoya loss as well, Sweet Pea.
Yeah.
He was hit and killed by a car in Virginia Beach. He was 55. He is survived by 5 children. Won 4 world titles in 4 weight classes.
Number 4.
Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert's thrown a touchdown in 28 straight games. That leads the nation. Today he was named to the Maxwell Award watch list given to America's College Player of the Year. Yes, I am aware this is watch list news, so it's borderline. But pertains to the Ducks.
Yes.
Thought you might want to know.
They'll have a handful of guys that are going to be on the watch list. They'll have 3 offensive linemen that'll be up for major awards. Troy Dye will be on plenty of lists. And then, of course, you know, Herbert will be a Heisman, you know, contender. Maxwell, Davey O'Brien, all that stuff. So there's some high-profile guys that are going to be on the team this year.
Defensive Player of the Year Award is the Bednarik Award.
Yeah.
And Troy Dye is on that list. All of this just to simply tell you that the Ducks open the season in less than 50 days.
Well, and what, next Wednesday we'll be down in L.A. for the Pac-12 Media Day, and I'm sure we'll hear from some of these guys.
Oh, even bigger news? I think we're going to hear from some Ducks in studio this week.
Yeah.
Did you read about that?
I did. They're making making the rounds. I think we're getting Jake Hansen, maybe, and I think Breland, I think, may have been the other one that are potentially in studio.
Cavaliers are moving on from J.R. Smith. Tried to trade him, but they couldn't. Now he's going to be cut before his contract becomes fully guaranteed. He'll become a free agent. He's 33 and a career 37% three-point shooter. Another 33-year-old no one really wants is Dwight Howard. Now, remember, he's in Memphis, in case you've lost track.
How many teams has he been on?
A lot. The Grizzlies are looking to dump him. Howard says he'd be quite open to a return to Los Angeles with either the Lakers or the Clippers.
Supposedly he's lost a bunch of weight. He's trying to get in shape.
Not the Lakers, though.
And claim that he's, He's trying to do the I've grown. I'm better now.
Andre Iguodala is also with the Grizzlies. The leaders in the clubhouse for his services would be the Rockets and the Clippers. Two other teams also interested in him would be Dallas and Denver. Also, it's finalized today. 5 years, $170 million for Ben Simmons with the Sixers.
Hopefully he gets a jump shot with that. And by the way, this would be Dwight Howard's fifth team in, looks like, 3.5, 4 years. So, he has been well-traveled.
Pair of arms dealt over the weekend. The Red Sox got starter Andrew Cashner from the O's, and the A's landed Homer Bailey from the Royals, and I can confirm that he is a gas can. The rumor mill, the Yankees have entered the fray for Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard, who says, for the record, that he does want to stay with the Mets. No one believes him, though.
No. He doesn't want to be there, and the Mets at this point are willing to deal him. And it's only appropriate that he goes to New York, and then he'll live up to his full potential.
Also, D-bag lefty Robbie Ray could be available. He's on the radar for the Yankees, Astros, and Phillies.
Did you say D-bag?
What? No. I never said it.
Let's go to the tape.
Major League Baseball trade deadline is 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on July 31st. There is only one divisional race within six games after the All-Star break. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Only one, NL Central. And more interestingly, interestingly enough,
deep breath.
More interesting is that going into tonight's action, every team in that division is within 6.5 games.
What is it? Which?
I just said NL Central.
NL Central?
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed it. I was like, NL Central.
Focus. The Cubs are on top, leading the Brewers
Thank
right now.
Thank God we had the wild card, huh?
But they're all within 6.5 games. By the way, the Giants are playing a doubleheader in Colorado. Giants? No, they're not good. Never mind.
Were you about to say that the Giants are good?
Well, I feel like they've been hot lately.
They're 17
Anybody
back.
Who plays in Coors Field is hot right now. The scores there are outrageous again.
They're 17 back at the Dodgers.
I watched the Giants earlier in the year, and they sucked balls. So I've been noticing lately that they seem to have been picking it up.
They have a better record than the Mets.
The Giants beat the Rockies 19-2 in game one of that doubleheader. Brandon Crawford drove in 8. And number one, the deadline came and went this afternoon for NFL franchise players to sign long-term deals with their teams. The Niners did lock up kicker Robbie Gould. And yes, he did get the franchise tag, signs for 2 years, $10.5 million. He's been money. He's made 72 of 75 field goals as a Niner. Led the league, 97%.
He just plays in San Francisco, so no one's noticed because those kicks are meaningless.
The Falcons have locked up defensive tackle Grady Jarrett for 4 years, $68 million. They get in under the wire with that deal. He's pretty much a beast and was also only a fifth-round pick. The other guy that everybody's watching for, but he did not come to terms with his team, is Texans linebacker Jadeveon Clowney. So he is expected to miss most of training camp because they couldn't come to terms, and he has yet to sign his franchise tender, which is the one-year deal for $16
million. Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. And it sounds like I was reading today that Houston really isn't – they don't want to budge. They're kind of dug in on this one.
And finally, we have a retirement note saying that he wants to leave the game on his own terms. Former number 16 overall pick and Titans linebacker Derek Morgan has retired. He's only 30 years old he's had 44.5 sacks over his career there. I believe he was drafted in 2010. And we do have an NFL arrest, and this time it's safety Cameron Moore of the Giants. Aggravated assault of his girlfriend. He put his foot on her neck, apparently, and the team has suspended him.
Yeah, that's not so good.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Sports Mondays continues coming up next on The Fan.
Bro.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, I looked it up. So the San Francisco Giants scored 19 runs today. And somebody texted in. Now, I had to fact check this on internet. But I did. And they said that the Giants have scored the most runs in the majors in the month of July. And that is true by a lot because they scored 19 today.
Sure. I think it was a team record when Crawford had the 8 ribbies.
Coming into today, they were already tied for second in July in runs this month. Pittsburgh being number one with 66, and the G-Men tied with Tampa Bay with 65. So now that puts San Francisco at 84 runs scored in the month of July, which is why I took pause, because I remember watching the Giants earlier in the season and going, oh my God, this team is terrible.
Yeah, they're atrocious.
Specifically, Brandon Crawford, who's a really good glove, but he could, I mean, he was hitting like, I don't have to go up and look at his stats like for early in the year, first couple of months. He was hitting like 150. Horrible. And all of a sudden, I had to take pause because like, man, the Giants seem to be doing some things here lately.
Well, I was looking. They played a three set against the Pods, who stink. They played three against the Cardinals, who are eh. And then they played three against Milwaukee, who's actually halfway decent. And then the Rockies with the 19.
Yeah, I mean, they're still in last place, but they have obviously stepped up their game. They're now 44-49, so yeah, not...
No.
They're not doing much.
On the plus side, you finish this one against Colorado, and then you play the Mets, who suck, and you get the Padres again. So I suppose you could be trailing the Dodgers by like 13 games by the end of the month.
Well, they're just doing much better, and that shocked me.
Yeah.
Okay, because I saw them earlier in the year and thought, man, they are really crappy. Anyway, they're still in last place, so forget the Giants. You know who's in second place in the NL East? You probably do, because that's your division.
Well, it's the Braves are in first place. I don't think it's the Phillies anymore. It's the Nationals, right?
It's the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams where you kind of, I don't know, you come up for air, maybe you just check in more after the All-Star break or whatever. You baseball, you kind of, you check in and then you, you know, check out and then you check back in. Checking back in on the NL East, the Nationals are actually pretty good.
What are they, a game or two up, right, on the Nationals?
Oh, no, it's seven, but the Braves are kicking ass.
No. The Nationals are, they're only a game or two up on the Phillies.
Oh, well you, okay. Yes, they're a game and a half up on the Phillies.
Yeah.
They're in but second the Nationals,
place, but it's like right there with Philadelphia.
Yes.
I looked at this the other day.
They're in second, which is, it's just surprising. Like you look at the, there's just some teams where you just check back in and go, wait, what? Yeah. That's true. The other one is that the Reds are within 6.5 in the NL Central.
See, that I didn't know.
That whole division, like I said, is
all kind of jammed together
within 6.5 of one another.
Because that's still what the Cubbies in Milwaukee, and where so Cincinnati's in last place, and yeah, they're within 6.5.
Yeah, that's what I was pointing out.
Yeah, pointing out, it's everyone's jammed in there.
So I was pointing out, Big J. All right. Well, anyway, there's a little hot baseball talk. I do have one other baseball note.
How are your Kansas City Royals doing?
Yeah, they're 30 games under 500.
That's not the worst in the bigs, is it?
No.
Because we still got
Detroit's worse.
And Baltimore, too.
Is Baltimore the worst record in baseball?
Yeah, Baltimore's 28-65 and a run differential of -187.
Good Lord.
And the Royals are 32-62 with a run differential of -88.
Have you still watched the Royals?
Less and less. Yeah, I was watching them earlier in the year, but now it's like, when you're 30 games, it's just like, whatever. Yeah,
I mean, the Mets aren't 30 games under 500, but I find myself paying less and less attention. And same thing with the Mariners. Like normally, because the Mets play so many games, by the time we get home, they're done. But when the Mariners are relevant, I'll go home and I watch a good hunk of the majority of the Mariners. I can't bring myself to watch it.
They're really hard to watch.
There is no reason to watch the Seattle Mariners. I go home and I'll flip on an inning maybe, and I'm like, no, I'll go find something else.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is the Royals have a better run differential than the Mariners.
Yeah, the Mariners -94.
So, interestingly enough, the ESPN put out their power rankings for Major League Baseball post-All-Star break. Six of the top eight are in the American League, but six of the bottom eight are in the American League.
A little feast or famine.
Yeah, the AL is just like really good teams or crappy, and then the NL is just a bunch of kind of, I mean, you got the Dodgers, and then you've got, well...
Are they putting Atlanta, or are they putting Chicago as the, as you said, six of the eight are the American League?
Yeah, Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Yeah, Atlanta. Atlanta's damn good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we saw this coming a couple years ago, right? I mean, this was kind of like what Houston had. It's like, yeah, they're not very good, but it's young talent. Give it time, and Atlanta has popped.
All right, so since we're on the baseball kick here, just a couple other quick notes. Max Kepler of the Twins hit two more home runs off of Trevor Bauer of the Indians. Mm-hmm. Why is that significant? It's significant because Max Kepler just hit five home runs in five straight at-bats against Trevor Bauer.
Really?
I did not see this.
Yes.
Did he get dotted in between any of those?
No. He hit three off of him in the last series that they played.
Sure.
And he came up and hit a leadoff homer against him. I think this was last night. Might have been over the weekend. And that was number four. And then he popped one again in his fifth at bat.
Wow.
Off of Bauer.
I would think at some point that Bauer has to retaliate there and plunk someone, right? I mean, what's the record?
Well, believe it or not, because I knew you would ask that.
Yeah.
And I was curious as well. That has actually been done two other times in the modern era.
Where someone's hit five in a row off
five someone? In a row off the same pitcher.
Anyone of note?
No.
Just random.
No, totally randoms. But but just as Kepler Bauer is.
Yeah.
But Max Kepler likes to see Trevor Bauer on the hill.
Can I just say that the Mariners stink, the Mets stink, and the Royals, because I root for the Royals because of you. I refuse to root for the Yankees because of Mike. He can go to hell.
Well, the Royals are lovable.
All of my love this
so are
year.
The Yankees.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, go to hell. They'll get one of the big arms at the trade deadline as well. And once again, go to hell, sucker. The death lineup is ridiculous. All of my love and support this year, Minnesota Twins.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Twins bandwagon?
Fully back in the Twins.
I should be too.
Fully back in the Twins bandwagon.
Somebody texted in, if you had to pick one team in the American League and National League to catch the division leader, who would it be? I was going to pick the Indians.
Say Cleveland.
I was going to say Cleveland.
Well, yeah, Cleveland's only 6.5 back. Yeah, that's probably a better bet. But do you know the A's, the swinging A's are doing it again.
Yeah.
And the Astros,
are really good.
Yeah, they
For
are.
For a
but,
while there, they were struggling. They had lost. They went through that weird thing before the All-Star break. They had lost like 7-9.
I tell you what, man, they're funky. I would go with the Yankees and Dodgers over the Astros this year.
When they were kind of littered with injuries, kind of like New York, they've had guys in and out of the lineup.
Just watching them play, I don't know, man. We watched them this weekend. They were booting the ball everywhere. And their bullpen's a little shaky. Not necessarily the back end, but I don't know. They've got some holes. They haven't been playing that great. Their run differential is plus 94. That's not even as good as the Rays, you know. But like you said, they've had some injuries.
The Twinkies have a great run differential. Theirs is 121.
Yeah, the Twins. I don't know. Yeah, the Twins is the best in the American League.
The Twins are legit.
They are, but I think a lot of people are instantly going to, take a crap on them as we move forward here. Maybe they peaked. They had a good start, but dude, the Yankees will own them in the postseason.
No problem.
And you know that's true. They always do. And that sucks. I'm with you. I'd like to see the Twins beat them, but that just, I don't know. I don't see it.
Well, not many people do, which is why, once again, all my love, Minnesota Twins.
And I also think the Yankees are overrated.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Have you seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not overrated.
They are to me.
They're really, really really good.
I'm not really going to take the bait on that one. They're up.
Oh, damn it. All right. Well, here's another thing.
Honestly, in modern time that you can remember, when healthy, find me a better lineup, 1-9. It's an embarrassment of riches. We had this the last time you were gone and me and Mike were doing a show. Who were we talking about? It was hitting eighth.
Gleyber Torres was hitting ninth.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres was hitting ninth, and he's hitting like...
He's hitting 292 with 19 homers and 50 RBIs.
That's... What the hell? Like, really?
Was Gardner ahead of him? Where did they put
Gardner?
That?
Gardner was out of the lineup in that day. Technically, the death lineup has Stanton in left.
Yeah, Stanton's in it, but Stanton was.
They call it the death lineup.
Yeah, it's like the Death Star. It's ridiculous.
So what does it go?
He hits eighth or ninth.
What does it go?
It would go DJ LeMahieu.
Okay.
Aaron Judge.
Ooh.
Aaron Hicks, just putting him somewhere. He hits third or fourth.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton. Gary Sanchez. Luke Voit.
Ooh.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Ooh.
Didi Gregorius. Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, it gets real strong there.
It's embarrassing. Find me. I was trying to think of this the other day when we were talking about it. I can't think of a lineup that was better top to bottom. I mean, it's just it is when you
I'd
look
have to
their
think
numbers,
about
it's
that.
It's embarrassing.
Mm. Well, anyway.
They're getting shut out by Blake Snell right now, so.
Yeah, they suck. See, overrated. Now, the Yankees are up 6, the Twins are up 6.5, and the Astros are up 6. In the National League, the Braves are up 7 and the Dodgers are up 14.5.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got one division worth watching, at least right now. I mean, a lot can happen. It's still a lot of
ball. That's why the best thing that baseball has done is the two wild cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it actually gives some intrigue. Because if you look in the AL, Tampa and Oakland right now, Cleveland is a game is a half a game back. Boston's 2.5. Texas is 3. The Angels are still there at 5. And then in the NL, Nationals, Phillies, Brew Crew, 1.5 back. Cardinals, D-backs, Rockies, Padres, all within 3 games. Pittsburgh within 3.5. So, I mean, even San Francisco is as crappy as they are. You know, San Francisco is only 4 back of the wild card.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. There's a little hot baseball talk for you. Coming up next, we wrap up the weekend in sports. Djokovic over Federer. Did you have time for that? Blazers over-under win total is out. And what if you could trade schools in college football? But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
For you baseball geeks, big fat baseball segment there. We've got another one tomorrow where we're going to talk about, well, there's a couple things. Actually, a couple this week. One, we're going to check in on how the robot umpire experiment is going.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this at all, but as I was researching how the robot umpire experiment is going.
And by the way, when you hear robot, there's a real umpire back there. It would be best if it wasn't, if it was like Rosie from the Jetsons, but it's a real ump back there, but it's an electronic strike zone. It just tells him in his ear whether it's a ball or strike.
As I was researching that, I saw of another rule change that they're experimenting with in the Atlantic League. Yeah,
it's the Atlantic League, and they made 4 new rule changes that got implemented like a week ago, and that's like the training grounds for all this stuff.
Yeah, and this one I had no idea they did, and it's definitely out there, and we're going to touch on that, but it's not going to be today, Jace.
No. But people get so fearful when they hear a robot ump. It's like there's not just a big machine back there. The Mike Lynches of the world that are opposed to this, to this day, it makes no sense. Like, I have a hard time wrapping my head around the people that are just so against actually having an accurate strike zone, Mike Lynch.
Well, there are a lot of don't take the bait on that either. He clearly is not. Look at him. He's staring at us.
I was not taking
dead eyes.
He's busy watching the Yankees.
I was not taking debate because I've had this conversation with you and it was 10 minutes and you didn't understand. And that's fine. But I just don't like the robot strike zone.
It's because you're a moron and you have no valid points on this.
God, you're a jerk. Jesus. Well, anyway, there are a lot of pitchers in baseball who don't like it, but you could probably put them on in the same camp as like just, I don't know. It just comes from a kind of a fearful
old man yells at cloud sort of thing.
Right. Like, well, when we do this segment, one of the things I wanted to do was lay out the actual arguments of what players and what people who truly know the game are saying about it. And there are some that are for it and many are against it. And when you hear them, you'll be able to determine for yourself whether you think that those are legitimate, valid arguments or just kind of these overreaction, you know, sort of emotional, fear-based, dum-dum arguments.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be today.
No.
Okay, listen for that on our show later this week. Now, did you watch the big tennis match?
I did watch the big tennis match.
The whole thing?
No. I woke up and was like, oh, Wimbledon is on. And so I caught, towards the end of the second set. And then I watched from that point on.
Now, see, I think, first of all, that was great.
Yes.
It was Djokovic versus Federer. Federer is like almost, I think he might be close to 38. But
I was hoping for one more, right? Push the sun up in the sky one more time.
Well, I mean, if you watch it, the whole crowd was going for Federer, which yeah. I don't know how Djokovic feels about that. But he's not as, I don't know, Federer's the man.
Yeah, he turns 38 next month.
And how old is Djokovic?
I want to say he's 33-ish. Let me look that up.
Now, he seems like a good dude, too, but nobody. I mean, like, Roger Federer is one of the greatest humans and athletes of our time.
By all accounts, that is, like, the nicest
greatest
human being,
dude.
And no one has a bad word to say about him.
And he's funny, and he's just, everybody loves Roger Federer. So, of course, everybody's rooting for him.
Yeah, the Joker is 32 years of age.
All right. Yeah, so he's a little younger, still got it. Federer, like, everybody wanted Federer to win.
Well, a lot of people think before it's all said and done that he will be the all-time Grand Slam finals.
Djokovic.
Yeah, Djokovic.
Yeah, and they people don't want to see that. Anyway, I think that tennis fights the same problem that golf does in that, man, that was a lot of viewing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's hell, if you just watched the fifth set, it was over 2 hours.
Yeah.
Actually, it was longer than that. I think it might have been close to 3 hours, which is crazy. I mean, that's like 6 hours you have. If you want to watch that whole match, you got to carve out 6 hours. And people today,
you don't have it.
They're just not doing it.
Although I will tell you that the fact that it's on in the morning, I think certainly helps. I don't know about you, but I'm more apt. And this was the same thing with the soccer game. I'm more apt to get a big block of time in the morning where you can carve out and like, hey, I'm going to watch it. Whereas if that's at night.
Well, I've said that for a long time. I mean, yeah. I think that the Open, which is coming up here this week, is great. The women's U.S. soccer, the World Cup final.
Yep.
Although I forgot to watch it. I forgot that it was on. But if I had remembered.
And you weren't sexist, you know.
No, if I had remembered, I don't know. It's just that's a great time for sports viewing for me.
Yeah.
But I forget about sporting events all the time. Like I have to be beaten over the head with, oh yeah, you know, and I'm a sports guy.
Well, it is breakfast at Wimbledon dawn. Come on.
And I didn't forget about this. It's just sometimes, you know, every weekend's different. You're busy. Like guys are just not like,
no, I will tell you that
we're sports fans, but we're not just glued to the sports schedule. We've got lives. And so you really got to beat people over the head with, hey, this is when this is, or you want to check in on this. And a lot of times social media now will tell you, if you check social media,
this is on
and it's like, oh man, everybody's raving about this. I forgot that was on. I'm going to go flip that on. But if you flip on Federer Djokovic, like in the first set, dude, you're carving out five and a half hours.
No, it's brutal. I will tell you, though, that the other nice thing about it in the morning that you can be productive with it, like both that and the World Cup final, were like you watch it on a treadmill, right? It gives you a reason. You're like, all right, you can go on there and you can try to be less fat and you can sit up there and watch the finals of Wimbledon or watch the World Cup final. And it's like you're killing two birds with one stone. Whereas, again, if it goes on, oh, later in the day and you're out and about doing stuff, I just think it's way harder to sit down. But it was amazing, but it was a bummer. It kind of reminded me of, now it wasn't, that was what, like 8-9 years ago that you had the Federer-Nadal Wimbledon final that Federer was on the wrong side of, but they call that the greatest match in Wimbledon history. It just, I don't know why I don't, there's just something about Djokovic that when I watch him, I don't like him nearly as well. And it's not like I don't watch a ton of tennis, but I never find myself pulling for him. I think I find Nadal and Federer to be way more likable than him.
Well, that's because we know more about Federer. Federer's just, I mean, he's been winning for longer. Federer's just, he's like I said, he's the man. You don't have to say anything about Federer to know where he stands as like one of the greats, truly great athletes of our time.
Yeah.
Djokovic has a little Brooks Koepka in him where there's something about him that just isn't all that interesting, even though he's amazing.
Yeah. And by all accounts, he's a decent guy. Like people, he's got a good personality too. It's just, I don't know.
But he's not Federer. No. That's the thing. It's like Brooks Koepka, you're comparing him to Tiger Woods or the feeling that Tiger Woods gave you, right? And it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka is not even the same as like Phil Mickelson when he gets going.
Why. It just isn't there.
It's a personality thing, and Djokovic is the same. You're comparing him to Federer, so therefore, I mean, you know, nobody's going to win that battle.
Yeah, someone says Djokovic looks grumpy. He does. Looks like a bit of a sourpuss out there.
Well, those tennis guys.
But he does a great, have you ever seen him like when he does some of the pro-am stuff? He does great impressions of anyone. Like he'll go out there and he can mimic all the styles of all the great players.
Well, he seems great.
Yeah.
But again, he's no Raj.
No.
And so Djokovic ended up winning, if you didn't see it. But it went 13-12. It was a tiebreaker at 12-12 in the final set. I mean, good grief. You know what's amazing about those guys, too, those tennis bros, is I was watching the interviews with those two guys after the match. Mm-hmm. They had just played. I keep looking for the length.
5 hours-ish.
I thought it was more than that, but I was looking for the exact length. I can't find it. But they had been out there for at least 5 hours in one of the, you know, I mean, like just a battle.
Yeah.
And those guys look like they just got out of the shower.
I know.
And they didn't. They were interviewing them right after. I'm like, God, these guys, I don't know. There's something about that. I don't know what I'm trying to say. They just looked like Djokovic just won Wimbledon by beating one of the greatest tennis players of all time in a great match. And he just looks like he just, you know, is going out for a coffee.
Yeah. Something. The conditioning of those guys is insane.
Well, anyway, there's a little hot tennis.
I was trying to look and see if I could find the
Mike, did you watch the tennis?
I did not, no. I saw some of the highlights of it, and I was reading how great it was. Actually, I watched the semifinal more, the Federer-Nadal match. I was somewhere where that was on the TV. But beyond that, no, I did not watch.
Yeah, it just says in this article, it says that it was the longest final ever, and it...
Mike's sexist.
And it says it went a whopping 5 hours. So
It was 5 hours?
Yeah, it went 5 hours. I don't know how much longer. It just said 5 hours.
And this is one of those for me where I enjoy the sport. I used to play it a little bit, but I will never seek out the final. If the final is on or a semifinal or whatever, I'll watch it. But I will almost never choose to watch it.
Yeah, if it's there, you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Tennis is kind of, golf's like that for a lot of people too.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hey, this is a major, Sunday major. Oh, check in on that.
That's 100% me. When it comes to golf and tennis, I pay attention to the majors. And to me, the PGA is like the Australian. It's like, not so much. You'll get me on the other three, but that one, I don't care what happens.
Okay, we have my boy Les Miles. Mike found some audio. And then the Blazers over-under win total is out.
Sucker. Are we going to get to trading teams, or are we going to do that tomorrow?
Well, I tell you what, man, if I'm a betting man,
yeah,
which I have been known to be,
sure,
I would not bet on that because we are careening toward the club.
Look at that.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We've fallen behind here. So that's coming up next. It's 5:44 on The Fan.
Me.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're going to be at Pac-12 Media Day next week. One day. So it'll be a Wednesday show. Big 12 Media Day and I think SEC Media Day.
Yeah, the SEC Media Days are going on because they do not get it all in one day.
Yeah, well, they got a lot more teams.
Yeah. I think the ACC might be going on as well.
Yeah, they're all going on now. And the big story at Big 12 Media Day was Les Miles.
Well, it was Mike Gundy's mullet, which is just...
Yeah, you say that every year, though. He's had it for like 6 years.
It just continues to get better and better and better. But I was really disappointed. I like Les Miles.
I'm 40.
I like Kansas. I want that to succeed. But I thought Les Miles embarrassed himself today. And, he embarrassed himself with the handling of the Puka Williams.
So Puka Williams was a freshman last year, running back at Kansas.
Their best offensive player.
Oh, not even. I mean, Kansas hasn't had a player like him for a long time. I mean, he is dynamite, very electric running back, 1,125 yards, first team All Big 12. And I don't actually know the details. I know he was suspended for misdemeanor, a domestic battery charge. He had an incident with his girlfriend.
He choked and punched her.
And he agreed with the penalty, and he has been suspended one game.
Yep, one game.
By Les Miles.
And it's against, you know, some directional school. Like the worst game on their schedule.
That really isn't, because when you're a Kansas fan, that's actually the biggest game on the schedule because it's the one you can maybe win.
Well... My point is...
Jason, I'm joking.
It was embarrassing.
Lighten up over there.
It was embarrassing.
Look, that game is a big game.
Indiana State?
Yes. Because like I said, how many wins can they get?
Yeah.
If they get one, it might be against them. Well, anyway...
Indiana State.
Here's what... And by the way, Les Miles, I was ecstatic when Kansas got him.
Yeah.
And I still am, because I think that's just amazing that they got a coach who, breathes.
That's true.
I thought they were going to have to hire like a dead guy.
No, a breathing man that also has a national championship to his credit.
Exactly. So I was just, I was like, wow. But the one thing that blew me away was when Les Miles had his introductory press conference at Kansas.
Yeah.
And it was, he was so awkward and so weird. I didn't know. I knew he was kind of a weirdo.
Yep.
They call him the Mad Hatter and all that. But I guess I hadn't consumed enough of his press conference material to understand just how strange and how uncomfortable he is in those.
Yeah.
And so it was like, whoa, that's Les Miles?
Yep.
Well, anyway, more of that today when he was asked about the Puka Williams suspension.
Rambled all over it.
This is it's a one-game suspension.
He's taken responsibility. He's been remorseful. He's learned from this experience, as has our team. We're thankful to have him back, And again, no violence against the woman is okay. So the I did not make this decision, but I stand by it and see it as a right one. So now I'd like to deviate from that.
I mean, what?
I didn't know he said that. He said, I didn't make this decision.
Yeah, who did? You're the freaking head coach of Kansas. You have a national championship. And this is what you want your team. The team has learned from it, this experience. You mean the experience where you beat up your girlfriend? You've learned from that? The entire team has? And what you've learned is that if you do beat up your girlfriend, you get to miss one game against Indiana State, and that Les Miles, who supposedly is in charge of the program, doesn't make these decisions, but he agrees with it? It's just, it was an embarrassment.
Did anybody follow up on that?
I don't know. I just heard the clip.
It must have been the AD's call.
I also just love this. It's like he's Mike Francesa up there. I mean, it just... I don't know. I just think normally when you come into a program, right, you're trying to set a tone, right? That this is how we're going to do things. And I don't think Les Miles could have set a worse tone at an introductory press conference. And then this, the first time he's faced with something, and you can't tell me that this isn't 100% based on the fact that that's your best offensive player. If that's the backup left tackle, he's not suspended for one game. And I think it's bad. And there's been plenty of these. There's been plenty of these over the years.
I'd say this is par for the course, is it not?
I just
isn't this kind of how it works?
I don't know. I guess I expected more. I just thought it was an embarrassment.
All right, coming up next. One more sports story.
What do you got?
The Blazers over-under win total is out.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to lay a solid bet on this. I like this number.
Now, this came from Bet Online, who does a really good job of staying in our emails. They basically blanket all the sports guys around the country with odds, like almost daily.
It's kind of amazing about some of the odds they do give you. You're like, what?
But it's great. That's what they do. It's fun. It's always fun fodder. And the Blazers over-under for wins next year, according to Bet Online, is 44.5.
I will go ahead and take the over on that.
Now, last year it was 42.5. Mm-hmm.
They ended up winning
in the preseason.
53?
And they won 53 games. So this year it's just north of that by two, although they are hedging a bit in a sense that a lot of changes to the roster.
Sure.
So it's only, 44.5. Like you say, that's enticing to say over for sure.
Yeah.
Based on the core of the team still being together and Nurkic, hopefully getting healthy.
Well, that Portland to me always is the team that cares about the regular season. I don't know if that's a Lillard thing. I don't know if that's a Stotts thing, but they always play hard. The regular season matters. And I think you look in the West and I think there's plenty of teams that coast. I think plenty of teams that have older players. LeBron missed a significant amount of time. Kawhi missed a significant amount of time last year. So I like Portland. At 44.5, I loved him last year at 42.5, and I'll gladly take the over on the 44. I don't know if they win 53 again. I think the West is going to be harder than it was.
Yeah, see, I think that's some of it. Some of it, that number is not higher because a lot of teams in the West got better.
Sure.
That's going to be the thing about Portland is every year is different. It's hard to predict, but 53 wins in last year's West, that same Blazers team, next year wins how many in the West, right? Like, that's probably not a 53-win team in next year's West as it was last year.
Yeah, but at the same time, we said this about the West last year. We're like, oh, man, the West is going to be a meat grinder.
It opened up, though.
And it opened up. Absolutely, it did. So,
I mean, after the Warriors.
Yeah. So, but even Golden State last year, right? For a lot of the year, Denver was the top dog in the West. Then Golden State ended up overtaking them. But Houston didn't have the year that many people thought they were going to have. The Lakers sure as hell didn't. The Timberwolves stunk. The Pelicans stunk. So, I don't think you look last year. The 8 seed was what? The Clippers and the Spurs. I'm looking here. They had 48. 44.5, you can't convince me that Portland is a 43-win team. I don't buy it.
All right, coming up next, it is time for the club. We have a 7-Eleven baby. You know what that means? No, a baby was not born in a 7-Eleven.
Oh. No.
Behind a 7-Eleven?
Yes.
That's where they're conceived. I didn't know that that's where they were born.
Wow. And will this be a thing? The armed soldier on the hoverboard. You guys see that?
I did.
God, that's terrifying.
I'm more
and awesome at the same time.
I'm more, if we were going to talk about the military, I'm more concerned about the Area 51 thing that supposedly is going to go down in September. You put that on pay-per-view. Sign me up. $49.95. Done.
All right, that's coming up next in the club on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.